but to share Divrei Torah with you. The theme of the first year is the topic of Lifnei Iver, dealt with extensively in the Sugyan Baba Basra, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and what you find regarding being machshil acherim in various elements of Isurim. The Gemara describes in Avodah Zarah and Avav the case of Trei Uvrei Denahara regarding a Nazir. A Nazir, obviously, who cannot partake of Yayin, and Yayin is out of his reach. And a person will go ahead and see to it that wine now is accessible to that particular Nazir. In such a case, the Gemara writes that as an illustration of this Adaraisa of Lifnei Iver. And somewhat later in the Masechta and Daf Tezva, the Gemara describes a case of Eitzara, a person who consciously gives inappropriate advice to a fellow Jew. In such an instance, that the Gemara writes as well is considered to be Bichlal, the Sisser of Lifnei Iver lo Sittein Michshal. It is interesting when you look, for example, in Sefer HaChinuch in Reish Lamed Beis, the Sefer HaChinuch begins by telling us that Shelo Yikoshel Beis Yisrael Be'etzara. A person is not allowed to cause a fellow Jew to stumble by giving him inappropriate advice. Simin HaChinuch is quite bothered. The fact that the Sefer HaChinuch writes a Ben Yisrael, why should you assume that Lifnei Iver only applies to be machshel a Yisrael in this Isser? After all, that very sugya earlier in Avodah Zarah and Avav, when the Gemara mentions examples of Lifnei Iver, one is the case of a Nazir, but the other is being moshet Eiver min Achai even to a Ben Noach as well. So you see explicitly in the Gemara that Lifnei Iver is not limited to being machshel Yisrael, even when it comes to a Ben Noach as well. And somehow here, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that at least that element of the Isser, of Eitzara, is limited to a case of a Yisrael. Perhaps it seems to indicate, and this will have to develop, the two very different aspects of the Isser of Lifnei Iver lo Sittein Michshal. You know, we're used to a division between mitzvos that are ben adam l'makom and mitzvos that are indeed ben adam l'chaveru. It's not just a difference in lamdos, but there are many differences halacha l'maisa between mitzvos ben adam l'makom, mitzvos ben adam l'chaveru. The Rambam writes, Perek Yit Aleph Hilchos Brachos, a bracha, for example, is only recited on a mitzvah which is ben adam l'makom, not on a mitzvah which has been adam l'chavero, but there are many differences between such cases. Certain mitzvahs are obviously one or the other. If you look at other mitzvahs, for example, it's somewhat unclear. You know, you look, for example, Minchas Chinuch in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em, the Minchas Chinuch raises the issue already implied in the Ramban. To what extent is Kibbud Av V'Em a mitzvah which is ben adam l'makom? Is that a chiyuv, a shibud that is ben adam l'chaveiro? The Ban already writes in Parshas Yisro, in Shmos Chaf, that the Seres HaDibros were on two luchos, that the first are mitzvos ben adam l'makom, the second mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro, and the Ramban writes that the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em serves as a bridge, as an elision, uniting the two luchos, because they're elements of each when it comes to Kibbud Av V'Em. On the one hand, it's a form of a hakara satov, as Sefer HaChinuch writes, but on the other, as the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam, indicating that one is Mechabit of a Ve'imo, it's considered to be a form of Kvod Shamayim as well. One could even raise the issue regarding Lifnei Iver lo Sittein Michshal. Is it essentially considered to be a chiyuv, which has been adam l'makom, that just as, for example, a person cannot commit a chet, a person cannot be a shutif, a person cannot promote, a person cannot enable others to be chote, but that is considered to be a chiyuv, a shibud, which is ben adam l'makom? Or perhaps one could argue, at least there definitely is an element of ben adam l'chaveru, even when it comes to a simas michshel, in the very literal sense of causing an iver to stumble, that is considered to be a breach of a ben adam l'chaveru. And perhaps one could suggest the following distinction that these two sugyas, the case of Eitzara, what you find later in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tezvav, that perhaps highlights the element of ben adam l'chaveru, which is involved in Lifnei Iver lo Sittein Michshal. Even ill advice is considered to be bechlal that particular iser. In the earlier sugya, Avodah Zarah and Daf Vav, perhaps that indicates the element of a ben adam l'makom simply being mach makshil acherim, not in terms of inappropriate etza, but rather in terms of a dvar avera. And perhaps that's the terrace to the kasha of the minchas chinuch. That the element, no doubt, that has been Adam Lamakom, being Machshil Acherim Ba'avera, that is quite explicit in the Gemara. That applies not only to Yisrael, but even to a Ben Noach as well, being Machshil Ben Noach in Eivra Menachai. When you look in that Sefer Achinoch and Reish Lamed Beis, where the Sefer Achinoch writes, one cannot be Machshil Yisrael, the Sefer Achinoch writes, Be'etzara. He's addressing the second half, the second element of Lifnei Velosit and Michshal. That is a shibud which is Ben Adam Lachavero, and similar to other shibudim, Ben Adam Lachavero, whether it's cases of Hashava Saveda or certain aspects of a mitzvah of tzedakah, perhaps that is uniquely when it comes to a Ben Yisrael. But no doubt there are various elements, as we'll see, to Lifnei Velosit and Michshal, part of which is Ben Adam Lamakam, and other elements that are indeed Ben Adam Lechavera. There's a fascinating machlokis what one finds between the Balamor and the Mochamos. It's found in the Sugya in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Dalid, in the Sugya of Yehorag Vayavor, but it sheds great light on the nature of the Yisra of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Misha. Let's assume, for example, as follows. A person provokes a fellow Yisrael to violate a particular Yisra. Obviously, is there a difference as to what avera it is that the person is encouraging the other to violate? A machshil, a particular person, to eat nevelos atreifos. Another person to be machal Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos, no doubt, is more chomer than the isser of nevela. Does that mean that the violation of lifnei iver of an avera chamura is considered to be more chamur than an illustration of lifnei iver when it comes to an avera kala? In a word, does lifnei iver take on the characteristics of the particular avera at hand? You know, one could understand the isser lifnei iver in two very different ways. One possibility is follows that the isser simply is one of provocation, simas michsha. And even though it's true, one could envision promoting violating Isser A, or provoking to violate Isser B, but nonetheless, the Isser is inherently the same. Provocation, the Dovara, whether it's Navera, or even by extension, even in Eitzara as well. Or maybe one could argue in a very different fashion, and that is that, you know, Lifnei'iver perhaps means that I am a Shutav in the Maisa Avera itself. True. He violated the Avera, but if I had a hand, if I promoted, if I enabled the individual to violate that Isser, so therefore perhaps that Avera is attributed not only to the Osa Avera, but even to the Machshil as well. And in that sense, as an Isser Prati, Lifnei Iver will take on various aspects of the particular Avera at hand. And that is the machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban. When the Gemara describes the areas of Yehareg Vayavor, the Gemara tells us, according to Rava, that there's a difference regarding the motivation of the one who is forcing me to violate the Isser. Is he doing so lavir lahadas, or is it simply done lahanas atzman? Is the guy doing so, forcing me to violate the Navera, simply in order to attain his own personal benefit and personal pleasure? So, the Gemara writes, according to Rava, that yes, there is an essential difference. If it is something which is Hanas Atzman, it is not always considered to be Harag Vayavar. That's Rava's teretz too. Esther Bifrahesi Havai. So, Abaye Esther Karka Olam Haisa. Rava says, Hanas Atzman Shani. So, the Balamor writes the following Chiddush. That idea of Rava, Hanas Atzman, would allow Ya'avor Va'al Yehareg, is that only true by general Averos, or does it even apply to Averos HaChamuros? Is Hanos Atzman relevant even regarding Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, or Shvichas Damim? Those Averos that categorically are Yehareg Va'Yavor. And the Balamor writes a very great Chiddush that yes, that Rav Shita Hanos Atzman Shani even applies to Averos HaChamuros. And how do you know it's true? Number one, the Balaam writes, Esther. That was the kasha of the Gemara. Esther Befeesi Havoi. The Balaam writes, that was a form of Gili Arayos. And Rav answers, Hanos Atzman Shani. The motivation of Achashverosh was his own selfish hana, and therefore Yavor Ve'al Yihare. And the Gemara has another example, Kavunki V'damuniki, providing the kalim that a goy will use to be Ovid of Avodazara, and yet Hanas Atzman Shani. So the Ramban and the Mochamos, and that's Sugi and Sanhedrin to find out that writes that those examples of the Balamor are not at all examples of Averos Chamuros. Number one, Esther Achashverosh, that's Gili Arayos. That's not Gili Arayos, that's Bias Akum. Bias Akum Malpidin does not have the status of Gili Arayos, and therefore it is not considered to be Arayos, which is Yehareg Vayavor. And in fact, the Ramban writes, the Kash of the Gemara was not that Vaha Esther Gili Arayos Havai, but rather Vaha Esther Bifarhesya Havai. Why did the Gemara have to mention Bifarhesi as opposed to Tzina? The Ramban writes the Mochamos, that's an indicator we're dealing with Shar Arayos, we're not dealing with cases of Averos HaChamuros. And what about the case of Avodah Zarah? Providing a goy with the kalim necessary to be Ovid of Avodah Zarah, that's closer for us. That, the Ramban writes, that's not Avodah Zarah. That is only Lifnei Iver. And Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah is not Yehareg Vayavor. Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah is not considered to be Avodah Zarah. The Lifnei Iver does not take on the characteristics of the particular Avera at hand, and therefore Lifnei Iver, whether it's Shabbos, or whether it's Kashrus, or whether it's Avodah Zarah, that is considered to be Shar Isurim. And therefore, Ya'avor Va'al Yehari. And the Balaam Or disagrees and maintains that certainly is not true. Lifnei Iver, that takes on the characteristics of the particular Aver at hand. Lifnei Iver of Yehareg Vayavor is Yehareg Vayavor. Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. And if Rava says, Hanas Atzmi Shani, that indicates that that is considered, that is a concern, even when it comes to Averos HaChamuros as well. A fascinating machlokas as to the nature of Lifnei Velos Sitein Michshol. Is it considered to be what I would term that an Isser or a Mitzvah Klolis? There's simply a broad Isser of provocation, that one is not allowed to provoke, and the particular Avera is not so relevant, but rather provoking a person, the Davara. Or would I argue that no? Lifnei Iver means that one who provokes a shutef in Maisa Avera, and provoking an Avera Chamura is much more Chomer Lahalacha than provocation of a mitzvah Kala. That is one machlokis between the Balaam Or and Ramban in that sense. You know, there's a comment Rabbi Kiveger has in the very opening of Masechta Shabbos in Tosfos Rabbi Kiveger. There is, you know, the opening mission discusses the details of Hotzah and Shabbos. In order to be Chayiv Midaraisa for Hotzah, it's necessary to do an Akira, a Shishus, followed by Anacha. Let's assume, for example, one person does an Akira, the Shin Rishus, and he does the Anacha. He will be Mechal Shabbos. And let's assume, for example, all I did is receive the chefetz. I put out my hand, and he placed the chefetz into my hands, thereby performing an act of hanacha. So the Mishnah tells us that that is not considered to be a basis of chiyuv at all. So the Rosh on that Mishnah, Beis Zaman Aleph Masechta Shabbos, is bothered by the following, that, do you mean to say that's heter gomor? Don't I at least have a hand in the Chilul Shabbos itself? As a result of my willingness to receive the chefetz al pidin, that is a hanacha, and therefore, this person now will be chayiv misa for Chilul Shabbos. How can that be? The Rosh answers, inachinam yirai, that midin Shabbos ka'amar. Midin Shabbos ka'amar. All the opening Mishnah in Shabbos is telling us the following. In terms of the parameters of Hotzah, a person who simply b'shev al tas is mikabel a chefetz, he doesn't actively do the hanacha, he is not considered to be actively participating in the act of Hotzah. He didn't do an Akiri, he didn't do a Shin Rishus, he didn't do a Hanacha, and as such, the act of Hotzah is not his. But the Mishnah does not mean to assume that that is Heter Gamor. Enochinami, the Mekabel HaChefetz will violate the Isser of Lifneiver, because as a result of his participation, the one who is Motzi the Chefetz, he will violate the Isser of Hotzah. So therefore the Rosh just comments on the Mishnah that the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that the one who is the recipient is doing nothing wrong. He's not Mechal on Shabbos, but rather he violates the Isser of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Mechshol. So Rabbi Kveger comments on that Mishnah, the Tosas Rabbi Kveger, V'nafka Minan Am Yeshba. And there is a difference, L'Halacha, as to whether the act is one of Chilul Shabbos, or one is simply an Isser of Lifnei Iver. Rabbi Kveger writes, the nafkamina is a mumer l'chalo Shabbos, is a mumer b'chalo Torah kula. And that Rabbi Kveger writes the Chiddush, that's true regarding Chilul Shabbos, but not Lifnei Iver of Chilul Shabbos. Lifnei Iver does not take on the characteristics of the particular Avera at hand. Lifnei Iver is considered to be not an act of Chilul Shabbos, but rather Shar Isurim, similar to exactly that which the Ramban writes in Mochamos, Lifnei Iver of Gili Arayos or Avodah Zarah is not labeled Al Pidin as Gili Arayos or Avodah Zarah. It's a separate, independent mitzvah klalis and isser of Simas Mirshal, but it doesn't take on the characteristics of the particular Avera at hand. That Lachor is exactly that Chiddush of Rabbi Kveger, like the Mochamos, I would suggest, against the view of the Balamor, where the Balamor assumes as a Dabra Posha that Lifnei Iver of Yeharag Vayavor is considered to be. Yeharag Vayavor al Pidin, that's considered to be an act of Avodah Zarah that requires that utmost concept of Mesiras Nefesh. This even touches on Ramban in Chumash as well. Rashi writes in Parshas Bo, the Pasuk tells us regarding Yantif, V'chol Malacha lo ye'aseh vohem. Lo ye'aseh vohem. Rashi writes, Afilu al yedei acherim. Afilu al yedei acherim. Why does the Pasuk say ye'aseh? It means that Malacha cannot be performed even through others. So the Ramban is quite bothered. What exactly is the kavana of Rashi? Why does Rashi write V'chol Malacha lo ye'aseh lecha afilu means ayidei acherim? What does the term acherim mean? No, there are always two options. Acherim can mean just someone else, or acherim at times is a reference to a guy, a reference to akum. When the Gemara writes in Pesachim Dafei Mudbeis Bal Yiram Bal Yematze Shelcha Iyataroa Aval Atara Shel Acherim V'Shel Gavoa. Rashi writes in Pesachim Dafei Shel Acherim means Shel Nachri. Rashi writes, you cannot possess chemtzo shel Yisrael, that Rashi Shita that's an Isser, even without formal Kabbalah Shmira, but nonetheless, lecha v'lo shel acherim, acherim means a guy. So the Ramban is very bothered. Is that what Rashi means in Shmos Yebeis? V'chol malach alo ye'yosev ohem means al yedei acherim, al yedei nachri? You mean to say that Amir l'nachri is forbidden min ha-Torah? Doesn't the Gemara write in Shabbos Kufnun that Amir l'nachri is only a shvus? So the Ramban writes that maybe you'll tell me here, Acherim means a fellow Yisrael. A fellow Yisrael. I cannot provoke a fellow Yisrael to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. The Ramban writes, why is it necessary to have a pasuk to tell us that that is true? Isn't that obviously the Yisrael Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Mechshol? Provocation in order to be Mechal Shabbos. Perhaps one could suggest exactly this answer, and that is as follows, that, you know, even if one should assume that there is a general Isser, of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol as an Isser Klali, perhaps here the Torah is going out of its way in telling us that no, provoking a fellow Yisrael to be Machal Shabbos, that's part of the Dinei Shabbos, that is considered to be part of Chilul Shabbos itself. And that's the Chiddush Akra of a Chol Malach Alo Ye'aseh Vohem. There's a comment that Achiezer has regarding ketanim, just as an example, that isn't there a halacha b'chola tarakula of los sa'achilum lahazir gdolim al haktanim esugya yivamus tafkuf yedalet? I can't give machalos asuros to a katan. Sa'achiezer writes, it's found in chelek gimel simin pei aleph. Why is it necessary then to have a pasuk of ata bincha uvitecha? Bincha uvitecha? Who is bincha uvitecha? After all, if they're bincha uvitecha hagdolim, that's ata. They're obligated in Shmir Shabbos. If it means I can't provoke my child to mechalo Shabbos, no, obviously, lahazir gdolim alatanim. Achiezer writes the Chiddush that even if b'chol ha-torakula, provoking a child to be machshil, is just a broad iser of los sachilum, lahazir gdolim alaktanim, not true when it comes to Shabbos. The pasuk goes out of its way and tells us, ato bin chuvitecha, that is considered to be an act of chilul Shabbos. And Achiezer writes, achidish, b'shem Reb Chaim Voloshiner, that one who is machshil a katan in chilul Shabbos, dino kemumer lechalo Shabbos. That's the pasuk of ato bincha uvisecha, similar to this possibility regarding v'chomalach halo hiyasevahim. That's a fascinating dune in terms of the nature of lifnei iver. To what extent is it simply an iser of simas michsho, or does it mean that a person becomes a partner? He becomes a shutach in the ma'is avera, and which avera is quite relevant to the chumrah of the nature of lifnei iver? You know, there's a fascinating machlokes between the Achiezer and Chazonish. The Chazonish is found in Simon Samach Beis of Yerodea, and the Achiezer is that very same tshuva found in Chela Gimel Simon Pei Aleph. A person goes ahead and attempts to be machshel acherim ba'avera. He tries, but he doesn't succeed. He keeps on putting the mitzvah in front of the iver, and somehow the iver keeps on walking around. The person's trying to be machshel someone, and he doesn't eat. Does he violate this relief nivir lo siten mitzvah? The attempt, is it a simas mitzvah? Absolutely, absolutely. There is a simas mitzvah. But if you're going to argue lif nivir means that I become a shutaf in my savera, does that require some my savera? When the avera is done, I'll ask you, who do we attribute this my savera to? The answer is not only to the old savera, but even to the machshil as well. But without an avera, perhaps the whole discussion doesn't even begin. To what extent is there simply an iser of provocation, enabling, or do we assume, no, it's attribution, that now you're a shutaf in my savera itself? The Gemara writes in Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara says that Rav Huna wanted to test the character of his son Rabba, to see that if he was easily angered. So the Gemara says that he took that which belonged to Rabba, his son, and Karashirai Bapei, he ripped it in his presence, to see if he would impulsively somehow react. The Gemara says, how could Rav Huna do so? V'dilma Karosach, maybe Rav Huna would have acted inappropriately. Maybe he would have lashed out Rachman Litzlan at his father because of what he did. And if so, Rav Huna would have violated the iser of lifnei iver lo sitein michsho. I often mention to mechanchim, it's a tremendous achrayus. Now, it means that if you bait, for example, you bait the Talmud, you bait the child, and they respond in kind, right? It's not appropriate for them to respond that way. A chutzpah, but it's an issa daraisa, right, for the mechanech. No, it's an issa daraisa, the Gemara says, for Rav Huna to have done so, to set up a situation that would possibly result in the son acting inappropriately. So the Gemara writes, v'dilma karosach, v'ka'ovar lifnei iver lo siten michsho. Fascinating chiddush that the Gemara writes. What exactly does the Gemara mean? V'dilma karosach. Maybe Rav Huna would have seen that his son Rabbi is angry, and maybe he would have expressed that anger, and Rav Huna would have violated. What exactly does that mean? Dilma karosach. If and then, if and only if Rabbi would have done something that was appropriate, then Rav Huna would have violated this lifnei iver. No, the provocation alone,
provoking the child, where there is a possibility that this will be the result, since Dilma Karasaf, therefore, categorically, v'kav alif nivra, lo sitein mirshal. That's a machlokis between the Chazanish and Reb Chaim Ozer. The Chazanish writes in Simon Samach Beis, you need an Avera. You need an Avera. If there is no Avera, then there is no lifnei iver lo sitein mirshal. Once an Avera is done, now who is it that we can attribute the Avera to? Only the Osa Avera, or even to the Machshel as well? But somehow, if I place the stumbling block and he walks around it, it's not an appropriate midah, but you wouldn't technically violate this or lifnei iver lo sitein mirshal, unless the iver stumbles. And Achiezer writes, that's wrong, it's the simas mirshal itself that is considered to be the Issa Daraisa of lifnei iver lo sitein mirshal, even if somehow no aver is performed at all. You know that very Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Avav? You have the Nazir, and the Nazir is on the other side of the river, wine is out of his reach, and I toss the yayin to the Nazir, and now he's able to drink. So in such a case, when the Nazir drinks, what Isser does the Nazir violate? The Nazir, he drinks wine. He violates the Isser of Shtiyas HaYayin. An interesting Chiddush. Poshav Shat, according to Chazon Ish, when the Nazir drinks the wine, not only did he violate the Isser of Shtiyas HaYayin of Nazir, but he violated the Isser of Lifnei Iver, being Machshil V'Moshit, and Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mirshal, the two Isurim in that particular case. According to Rav Chaim Ozer, I tossed it to the Nazir automatically. I violated an Isser Daraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mirshal. Whether he drinks or not is irrelevant. The fact that I have provided, the Chazon Ish writes, no, you need an Avera, meaning, did I violate Lifnei Iver by being Moshit Kos the Nazir? It depends. We're going to wait and see if the Nazir drinks. If another drinks, then and only then would I violate the Isser. An interesting deal, that possibility of the Lifnei Iver of, the Lifnei Iver, in that particular case regarding the Nazir himself. But again, that Machlokas Chazon Ish and Achiezer could link, not necessarily fully Muchach, but link, right, to that Balamor in Melchamos, in the sense that if Lifnei Iver is just the broadest type of Isser Klali, and the Isser is one of provocation, and the nature or the quality of the Avera is not necessarily relevant to the Chomer HaIsser, in such a case, one perhaps could argue that yes, the Simas Mirshal in and of itself, that is considered to be the Avera. One could suggest, why is it so necessary that there must be a Dvar Avera? Because Lifnei Iver is considered to be a Chelek, a Sniff, an Isser Prati, part of the Avera at hand. And then, as Chazon Ish assumes, only once the Avera is violated, then one can begin to discuss the Issa Daraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mirshal. I had thought that perhaps there's a raya from the Rambam Shita as well. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Shoresh Tes, that there's no Malkus on that which is a Lav Shebechlolos. A Lav Shebechlolos. When you have a single Lav, and you derive from that love multiple isurim, so in such a case, then, ein lokin alav shebech lolos. The classic example, what the Gemara writes in Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel, is a case of lo sochlu al hadam. The Gemara has so many different isurim derived from that pasuk of lo sochlu al hadam. One is an azhara for ben sora morim. And the other is lo sochlu adam, that the Sanhedrin is not allowed to engage in achilo shtia when they will be done a person lemisa. Or the Gemara has, in the very beginning of Brachos, lo sochlu adam in Isra'av achila kodem tefila, eating before davening. That is an Isra'av lo sochlu adam. It's fascinating. That Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos and Shoresh Tes, where the Rambam lists all of the dinim daraisa that are derived from lo sochlu adam. The Rambam includes the Gemara Brachos of achila kodem hatfila. Achila kodem hatfila, the Rambam is mefurish. That's an issa daraisa. Pashup shat l'shitase of the Rambam shita that tfila,
b'chol yom is a mitzvah daraisa. The Minchas Chinuch raises this issue. The Minchas Chinuch does not quote the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Minchas Chinuch just raises the issue. That sugi in brachos lo soch l'adam, is that only in asmachta? Is that a din daraisa? It's mefurish in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos that that's true. If you look in the Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Mem Ches, the Minchas Chinuch writes, parenthetically, he doesn't have a Sefer HaMitzvos. Many of the diyunim that you find in the Minchas Chinuch, found the Furish, in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, right, this diyun that the Minchas Chinuch has, the nature of the Isra of Losoch L'Adam, it's Mefurish and Shorish Tess of the Rambam, Achila Kodem HaTfilah is considered to be that which is forbidden min HaTorah. So the Rambam writes, that's a classic example of lav shebechlolos. One lav and multiple isurim. So Tosus raises the following kasha, Tosus Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel. What about Chilul Yontif? The Pasuk says, Kom leches avod lo sasu, and from that single Pasuk we derive many, many isurim. There's Nisr of Choresh, there's Nisr of Zoreya, there's Nisr of Kotzer. So therefore, how is it ever possible to get Malkus for Chilul Yontif? Isn't Chilul Yontif a classic example of Lav Shebech Lolos? That's the kasha that Tosus raises. If you look in the Ramban, there in Sefer Mitzvos, in Shorash Tes, the Ramban writes the following teretz, very mistaber, that the only time something is called Lav Shebech Lolos is when you have Shemos Muflokim, a different shame ism. But if it's simply different examples or different manifestations of the same Isser, that is not considered to be at all an example of Lav Shebech Lolos. That's the teretz that the Ramban gives. Very mistaken. When it comes, for example, to Meleches Shabbos, Meleches Yantiv, sure, they're Lamites Melechos. How do you view that Alpidin? As though they're Lamites Isurim? Is that the concept of Chiluk Melechos? Or is it that there's a single lav of losasa komlacha, or this ranyantif of komlacha sabod losasu, with various manifestations, various examples of the very same lav? That itself is a fascinating din. How you understand the concept of chiluk melachos. Rav Menachem Zembin, Tzotzos Chaim, and Simen Hay, a lengthy discussion. Whether each melacha is an independent iser, or, no, each of the Meleches Shabbos is just an example of the single Isser of Lo Sasa Cho Melacha. Is it Shemos Muchlakim? Is it considered to be that which is Gufan Muchlakim? You know, we know that in order to be done one Lemisan Shabbos, Hasra is necessary. And it's fascinating. You go through all the sugyas of Shas and Hasra, it's so unclear how to give Hasra. How to give Hasra. What do you have to tell the person who is violating the particular Avera? Very unclear. You know, in the yeshivas, we're used to, you know, Tosus writes in Bava Kamma, Hasra has to be so specific. You have to mention the particular Isser. You have to mention the particular Malacha, Tosus writes. If a person is doing a Tolda, do you have to be Masra Tolda Mishumav? Right, that's Tosus Shita. The Rambam Shita is that you don't require any such Hasra whatsoever. The broadest statement possible of Prosh or Altasa Davrazeh. Don't engage in this practice. And if you do this, this is the Onesh. In such a case, the Rambam writes in Perakei of Sanhedrin that's sufficient for cases of Hasra. Rav Menachem Zemba writes that you know that the type of Hasra that is necessary should depend on this issue. What is the relationship of Malacha Ein Malacha Bi? A separate Shem Isser? Or is it now just a further example of the broadest Isser of Kol Malacha Savor Lo Sasu or Lo Sasa Chol Malacha? But that Yesod is very important. The Ramban writes, it is only considered to be Lav Shebechlalos if it's a separate Shem Isser. So the classic example, Lo Soch LaHadam, the Azhara for Bezdin, to engage in Achila when they're done on the Misa, or the Azhara for Ben Sora Umoreh, or a person is not allowed to eat the animal before it is absolutely dead. In such a case, that's not just the same Isser, that's a different Chaloshem Isser. That's why it's called Lav Shebech Lolos. The Ramban writes in a word, Lav Shebech Lolos is only when you have a separate Shem Isser. The Rambam writes, is there Malkus for the Israelif never lo siten mirsha? The Rambam writes no malchus. Why not? The Rambam writes there in Shorash Tes. Lifnever is a classic example of lav shebechlolos, a lav shebechlolos. I would suggest that that chiddush of the Rambam, no malchus lifnever because of lav shebechlolos. So in such a case, perhaps that points to the direction of independent isurim. It's not just simply one isur of lahachshil acherim, with different examples of a mikshol. Shabbos is a mikshol, kashrus could be a mikshol. No, it's considered to be a shutuf in my savera. The lifnei iver of arayos is more chomor than lifnei iver of machalos asuros. It has an independent character regarding each and every iser, and as such, perhaps it's considered to be part of lav shebechlalos. Could be. Could be. Unless you would assume that's true. Maybe it's a lav shebechlalos, not because of each individual iser. Maybe it's a lav shebechlalos because, as I began, because the two halves of lifnei iver. Maybe there's one element lifnei iver, which is the ben adam lamakom, an independent chaloshem iser of eitzerah, and maybe that would contribute to lav shebechlalos as well. Could very well be. So it could be that that comment to the Ramban is not necessarily muchach. Either it's a lav shebechlalos because of each and everyone, or maybe simply because of the broader difference between Eitzera as opposed to that case of Avera. I once heard from Moshe Weiss exactly that chiddush, that the Rambam's consideration of Ifne'iver of lav shebechlalos perhaps is because of an Adam lamakom and Adam lechaveru. If that's the case, then you're right. It's not an indication regarding the smachlokis between the Balamor and Ramban. Ben Chasminach even raises the following interesting issue. A machshel a person in an Isser Darabonon, could that possibly be lifnei iver daraisa? Can lifnei iver ever be more chamor than the Avera at hand? One thing is clear, that if you're a shutaf in my Avera, so how can it transcend the chomer Avera of the Osad? I have a hand, but nonetheless, how can it be more chomer than those Avera? But then the Menachas Chinuch writes the following issue, but how can that be any better than an Eitzera? If I go ahead and I give a person bad business advice, I violate lifnei iver. So an Isser Drabanan, not to fulfill the mitzvah Lishma Divrei Chachamim, that's a terrible, terrible eitz. In such a case, a chiddush the Minchas Chinuch writes, maybe that's an Isser Daraisa of Eitzera, of the element which is Ben Adam L'Chavero at that particular time. But again, a fascinating possibility. One Lachora could distinguish, in terms of these two halves of Lifnei Iver, in the following sense, that, you know, when it comes, for example, to a case of lifnei iver and avera, it does not really matter whether the person is b'shogeg or whether it is b'mezid. Let's assume, for example, there is a nazir. And the nazir knows he cannot drink wine, but wine is out of his reach. And I toss him the wine, and he drinks b'mezid. The fact that he did so b'mezid, it's explicit in the Gemara, does not exempt the moshit. Whether the kavanah of the Baal Avera was b'shogeg, b'mezid, no doubt is irrelevant. You will violate lifnei l'istei mirshon. I would suggest that certainly is not true when it comes to the case of Eitzera. The case of Eitzera. There it means an Eitzera where the person is acting out of innocence based on my advice. The person is a financial expert and I go ahead and give him inappropriate advice and he knows that this is ill advice and he decides to follow that knowing that that stock is going to crash, that business will plunder. In such a case, there I would suggest that ben adam lechavero, certainly there's a difference between taking advantage of innocence as opposed to one who I had every right to assume would not necessarily follow the particular advice. So perhaps there is a different hagdara even when it comes to those cases as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes a very interesting chiddush. And here, this is something which is quite, quite nogia lahalacha. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva in the Menachas Shlomo Chelek Aleph in Simen Lamed Hei, where he writes a fascinating diyun. It's based on a brief comment of Rabbi Kiveger. This Rabbi Kiveger is found in Yeradei in Simen Kuf Pei Aleph. Kuf Pei Aleph. Simen Kuf Pei Aleph, as you know, that's the Simen of Hakafa, Makif and Nikaf, cutting the Pei Asarosh, cutting the peyas hazakan. Here Rabbi Kiveger writes a chiddush in hakafa, but you know, you take a step back, it speaks volumes. We know that women are chayiv in mitzvos lo sasei, but women are exempt from the isra bal takif, bal tashkis, bal tatami lemesim. A woman is not included in the isra of peyas harosh and peyas hazakan. And not only does that mean that there's nothing wrong with a woman cutting her own peyus, obviously al pidin, that doesn't have the status of peyas harosh and peyas hazakan, but the Gemara writes the following chiddush, that even means that if a woman is a makif, she will not violate the issa daraisa of lo sakifu. Even the lo sakifu, the Gemara in Makos Chaf Mabez, Echad ha-makif ve'echad ha-nikaf loke. So I understand, if a woman is a nikaf, there's no active hakafa. But what about a woman being a makif? So that's the chiddush that the Gemara writes, that we equate the issa of makif to that of nikaf. And whoever is not included in nikaf is not included in makif. In a word, if an isha will go ahead and perform hakafa to a male, she doesn't violate this issur of makif. Rabbi Kiveger writes, you're right, it's not considered to be an issur of makif, but it is an issur of lifnei velosite mikshol. We assume as the Ravid Shita, there's an issur daraisa for the nikaf. So the customer is the nikaf. He cannot allow his payas to be cut. So if a woman is serving as the barber and cutting the peyas harosh and peyas hazakin of the Yisrael, good, she's excluded from hakaf in the broadest sense, but undeniably, in Yisrael lifnei velo sitein mishum. Rabbi Kiveger writes the following. A man is about to cut his peyas harosh. If he cuts his peyas harosh, he will violate two Yisrael daraisa. No, that's what the Gemara writes, Makos Chaf Mudbeis, Lo Sakifu B'loshen Rabin, Echad HaMakif VeEchad HaNikaf Lokem. Echad HaMakif VeEchad HaNikaf Lokem. Two Isurim. Interesting, the Ram doesn't quote the double sense of Malkus, but that's Poshur Pshat, but the Gemara writes that a Makif Es Atzmo is Loke Shnayim. Two Isur Daraisa, Makif and Nikaf. Makif and Nikaf. All of a sudden a woman comes forward. You're about to cut the peyas harosh, the peyas hazakan. The woman says, I'll do it. If I do it for you, you're only going to violate this of nikah. You're not going to violate this of makiv. By my doing it for you, nashim tzikanios, I'll do that, you'll violate one less issa. You're going to avoid the issa of makiv. Rabbi Kiveger writes, no, but there's an isra of lifnei velo sitein mikshol. That's the punchline of Rabbi Kiveger. You're doing something that objectively should be an isra daraisa lifnei. As a result of what you're doing, there's an absolute maaser of hakafa. That's Rabbi Kiveger writes. How can you call that a mikshol? The sum game is that now you are saving the person from an added avera. And even though you're doing something where in other conditions would have been lifnei velo sitein mikshol, if you take a step back and you look and realize as a result of my doing the act of hakafa, which will result in his violating an issa daraisa of nikah, but if the other option would have been multiple isurim, so that efficiency, one avera less, how can you call that nisimas mikshol? Well, that's Rabbi Kiveger. Shulchan Aruch Kuf Pei Aleph. A detail of hakafa, but the stunning, stunning ha'ara. You always have to ask yourself, when a person is engaging in this practice, even if it is a dvar avera, but what is the other option? Is the other option far better? Is the other option far worse? If the other option is no avera, obviously, if nir l'sita mikshol. But if you can demonstrate that the alternate is worse, you cannot call that a simas mikshol. That's what Rabbi Kiveger writes. So this is what Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes in Rosh Shlomo Chelak Aleph Simen Lamed Hey. When it comes to inviting a Jew to your home and serving them food, knowing that they will not make a bracha, no, the Shura Sadin would seem to indicate that isn't that an example of alif nevel osite mikshol? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes exactly this chiddush. Rosh Shlomo Zalman quotes right this Rabbi Kiveger in Kuf Pei Aleph of hakafa. What will the result be if one, for example, has a home of those who are not from,
and bidavka you will not offer them any food, knowing that they will not be making a bracha? Or what if you will insist that they must go ahead and make a bracha, and that will result in, Shlomo Zalman writes, a certain sense of sinna. There'll be a measure of resentment. Where Shlomo Zalman writes, it's chiddush, and that is that element of resentment that would develop, hard for us necessary to make that hashara, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, far outweighs not making the bracha, and therefore offering them, how can you call that? An act of a simas mirsha. Yes. On the scale of things, the attempt is bringing them closer, it is not distancing them, and as such, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, that there's no iser of lifnei velo sitei mirsha. Right, and fascinating extension of that, Chuvas Ravi Kaveger. It requires shoulders to know that when one would argue that the sum game, that which is accomplished far outweighs, but the precedent, Ravi Kaveger writes, is very clear that you cannot refer to something as a simas mirshol if it is clear that what is being gained is perhaps less chilul Shabbos than otherwise would occur. In which case, then the possibility that is not considered to be a form of a lifnei iver, nor is it considered to be that which is a form of a misayeh. Fascinating chiddush that Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes based on that one line that you have in Ravi Kaveger. Yes? Right. So that's again the question. In other words, let's assume you avoid. And your policy would be, we're never going to invite, right, a non-religious Jew, let's say, to the home. Is that considered to be, that which is the toelis, is that considered to be something which is not? That's the deun of many, many such shailas, right? When do you assume that concept? Tosis raises almost the chatebish v'shiyizke. When do you assume that principle of the sugyan yuman daf peyalef of shalosh shabbos achas kishishmor shabbos osarbe? You're right. In that case, Rosh Shlomo Zalman mentions that was the mitzvahs. But again, the fact that, okay, so as a public policy, we'll assume never put yourself in a situation where food will be offered to someone where we have reason to doubt whether they make a bracha. Is that something that is a policy, right, will enhance, right, our hashba, or is it something that will just create or result in that sense of sinus? So again, the applications, no doubt, we can discuss, maybe in the questions and answers have to be nuanced and balanced, but it's an important, important yisod. That very tshuva, Rosh Shlomo Zalman has, in Simen Lamed Hey, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes a further great, great kiddush. That Gemara I mentioned, Kiddush Nef Lamed Beis, Rav Huna wanted to test the character of his son Rabba, and therefore he ripped the Shirayim to see how, in fact, he would respond. The Gemara says, "V'dilma karosach." Maybe he would have become angered, and maybe Rachman Litzlan Rabba would have acted inappropriately, and Rav Huna would have violated the Sita Mikshal. Maybe he would have yelled something out at his father, or the Fimadri Gosa would have done something inappropriate. So the Gemara answers, no, the father was Mocha. The father was Mocha, and Kibud Avayim. It's Nitan Mechila. Before he put his son Rabba to this test, so Rav Huna stated that I am foregoing, right, any Chiyuva Kibud Avayim. So Tosus writes the following, good, Rav Huna was Mocha. Did Rabba know that he was Mocha? As Tosus is Kasha. Kedush Lama Beis Amar Aleph. Rabba knew he was Mocha. If Rabba knew he was Mocha, maybe it wasn't such a great test, but Tosus writes, yes, you have to assume that Rabba was aware that Rav Huna was Mochel. Because if not, no Hashem Yislach lo, no Machsheves HaAveira. I think I'm doing something which is wrong. It turns out that no, that wasn't the case. The Baal was made for the Neder, and therefore there was no Isser Neder. But nonetheless, Kapara is needed because of the Machsheves HaChet. The Machsheves HaChet. So Tosus writes, you have to assume that Rav Huna informed his son Rabba that I am mochel any aspect of kavod. I guess he wanted to see whether impulsively, what his nature was, what the intuitive reaction would have been. So he told him, I'm going to be mochel you, and then went ahead and did so. But he had to be mochel. Otherwise, machsheves hachet. Machsheves hachet of Alif Never. Interesting chiddush. Machsheves Hachetav Alif Never. The Gemara says, how could that be? Rav Huna was violating Lif Never L'Sitein Michshal. The answer is Mechila. Yeah, but if Rava was unaware of the Mechila, again, right, he was breaching Kibbut Av HaEim, in which case you'd violate Lif Never L'Sitein Michshal. The answer is, you're right. He informed of a Mechila. Because if he wouldn't have informed him of Mechila, that would have been a machsheves hacheit of lif nevi l'sitei mirshal. No? Interesting chiddush. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, apparently you see that this is absolutely true. This is absolutely true. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, let's assume, for example, a Jewish worker shows up in the house. That's what he writes in Shuva Lamed Hey. A Jewish worker shows up in the house. The woman, right, doesn't look as though anyone else is present in the house, just the woman herself. The woman knows this is not an Isra of Yichud, because Baila Be'ir, my husband is right next door, right? I know that Baila Be'ir, that's not an Isra of Yichud. Does the worker know that that's true? The Jewish worker, is he aware that Baila Be'ir, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that Shuvah Chiddush, she has to tell him. She has to tell him that, you know, my husband is next door. Not in terms of just this Midas Hatznius, or not in terms of, because otherwise, he has no right to enter. Ayel tell me that it's not Yichud. Yes, it's not Yichud. But if he's unaware of the fact set, that's Hashem Yislachla. That's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, based on Vetosis and Kedushin Adaf, Lamed Beis, an interesting Chiddush. Right, a person, for example, is frequenting a restaurant. We know the Hashkach is an excellent, excellent Hashkach. But you know, for whatever reason, it's not posted properly. And the person, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, is walking in, he should ask. He should ask, is this under a legitimate Hechsher? And Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes a chiddush that, you know what, if it's not posted properly, the store owner has to inform the customer that that is true. You have to take the initiative and inform, because otherwise, that is a lifnei iver of machsheva. Of course it's not an avera. Everything is done in the restaurant. Kedasu kedin. Yeah, but he had no right to make, and if he has no right to make that assumption, that's the lifnei iver of the proprietor. Two examples. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes of that particular chiddush, the Tosus writes, a lifnei iver of cases of machsheves hachet. Just let me conclude before the questions, just with an important, important machlokas, and that very sugya. In Avodah Zarah and Avav Mudveis, the Gemara there distinguishes between chad avrei denahara as opposed to trei avrei nahara. When I said that tossing the wine to the nazir, that is considered to be that which is forbidden min ha-Torah. When really is that true? That the Gemara writes as follows. If otherwise the wine is out of reach, it's not accessible to the Nazir. So I go ahead and I toss it to him, and now he's able to drink. And let's assume it was accessible, right? He simply could have accessed it himself. In such an instance, then we would assume that that is not true. You don't vite lifnei iver lo sitein mirsha. So the simple understanding of the Gemara is the only time you vite the law lifnei iver sitein mirsha, if the circumstance is such that your participation is necessary, it's vital, without which the Aveira could not have been violated. It's interesting that if you look in the Rambam never quotes this requirement of Trei Uvrei Denahara. The Rambam never mentions it. If you look in the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Reish Sarites, the Rambam describing Lifnei Iver never mentions this basic condition that you only violate the Isser if it would have been beyond the access of a Balaver without your offer, without being Moshe, Kos Yain the Nazir. It's a fascinating Ha'ara that the Rambam never mentions the requirement of Shrei Avrei Denara. If you look in Rabbeinu Chananel, and that's Sugya, and Avodah Zarah Davav, a very brief comment, Rabbeinu Chananel, it's clear. Rabbeinu Chananel understood Shrei Avrei Denara differently. That is not a condition of Lifnei V'lo Sitein Mirsha. Rabbeinu Chananel understood Chad Eiver Denahara in a very different way. That if I'm standing next to Nazir, he says, give me the wine. And if I say no, he'll seize the wine. And he will beat me up and he will grab the wine. Then you don't violate Lifnei V'lo Sitein Mirsha. If he can take it from me, Bal Korcho, that's not considered to be Moshe. Right? When he turns to me and says, give me that bottle of wine. And I know that he is going to access it himself, Bal Karchi. I have no ability to say no. That's the case. But if you have any sense of choice which you will make, whether or not to be Moshe, even if he can get it someplace else, nonetheless, Rabbi Nachman writes that you vat lif neiver. But it's a fascinating ha'ara. The Rambam never mentions this requirement at all. And in fact, if you look in the Mechaber in Reish Nun Aleph, the Mechaber does not quote the requirement of Trei Aver Dinar. Against the Rambam Shita, Rov Rishonim maintained that certainly is not true. Access is a critical question. If the Baal Aveira could access the Dvar Yisr without your participation, you do not violate this Adarais Lifni Verlo Sitein Mirshon. Is there any Yisr Darabanam? That is too further Deis Nereshonim. The Ran writes in that Sugya, about Azar and Davav, there is an Yisr Darabanam, even Bechad Eiver Denara, and that is what we call Misayeya Lidei Ovrei Aveira. Even if somehow they could have accessed it elsewhere, but the fact that I was the facilitator, that the Ran writes is an Isser Drabana. And Tosus disagrees. Tosus, the Mordechai maintains that there's no such Isser Drabana. You have three Shittas in the Rishonim. The Rambam who maintains that always an Isser Daraisa. The Ran who writes that there are two tiers, Trei Avrid Nahara Daraisa, Chad Eiver Nahara Drabanan. And Tosus assumes unless it's Trei Avrei Denar in such a case, then there is no Isser of Misayeya at all. That is the Chiddush of Tosus. When the Mechaber quotes the Rambam Shita in Reish Nun Aleph, the Rama is Masig, and the Rama quotes two Deos as to whether there is an Isser Drabanan, the Rama quotes the Machmirim, the Ran, that there is an Isser of Misayeya, and then the Ran writes, the view of Tosus in the Mordechai, there is not. The Ran writes, a bal nefesh yachmer latzmo, not to facilitate an aveira, even if it was accessible al yedei acherim. That's the Chiddush, again, the three deos that you find in the Rishonim. Issa daraisa, issa drabanan, more considered to be that which is heter gamur. And that simin, reish nun aleph, you have a very important comment to the Shach, and that of the Noda Behuda, the Dogam Ravava, very, very relevant lahalacha, and that is as follows. When you're dealing with that element of Misayeya, we mentioned, when it comes to real Lifnei'ivin, whether the person is a Mezid, whether the person is a Shogeg, whether he's a Tinok Shanish, none of that matters. None of that matters. The case of the Nazir is the Nazir b'mezid is going to be shosayayin, but nonetheless, I am not allowed to facilitate. That's the Isra of Lifnei v'lo Sitein Mirshon. What about regarding that Isser d'Rabbanan, according to the Ran of Misayeh Lidei Ovrei Aveira? There do I have any right to consider whether the person is a Mumar, whether he's doing so b'mezid, whether he's doing so b'shogeg. So that's the Chiddush that the Shach writes in Reish Nun Aleph, that if you're dealing with one who is a mumar la'oso davar, then there's no iser of misayeh. That's the Chiddush that the Shach writes. And the Noda Behud and Dogam Avava writes, he feels what the Shach really means is not the formal category of mumar, but rather whether it's b'shogeg or whether it is b'mezid. If a person b'mezid is willing to violate an avera, so in such a case, then there is an Isser, Lifnei v'lo Sitein Mirshon, but that would only apply if without my facilitating the Aveira, it could not be done. When it comes to the element of Misayeya, so that's the Chiddush that the Dogam Avava writes, that if a person is doing so b'mezin, then there's no element of Misayeh Lidei Ovrei Aveira. Fascinating possibility. So three deos in terms of the Ikar HaIsser, and then the Machlokes HaPoskim regarding one who does so as a mumar does so, b'mezid. So please, good.
I want to thank the Rav Sacks for a masterful presentation, and we'll now open up for questions. I'll just remind the Rabbanim HaChashuvim that the second shiur immediately after lunch, the Baruch Hashem, we're following schedule, is on the topic of Tochacha, so that those questions which specifically relate to the Tochacha aspects should be reserved for that second session. At this time, Rav Osai, please present your questions.
Okay. Yes.
In the case of the that Shamzan was talking about the Ichud, wouldn't it, the person who comes in be able to assume that if the woman is not doing anything about it, then it must be Bible of the Year? Isn't that a legitimate
right. So it's a good point. It's a good point. When can you really make that assumption? Maybe, perhaps, Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to assume in that tshuva that when you're entering a home and it's, let's say, during a time that normally the husband is out, let's say during the day hours when a husband, you know, is a working man and he's not there, one cannot, one should not rely on that assumption. One should be mevarer as to whether, in fact, that is true. So if that really is the likelihood, it might be a very different situation, that's true. The way he assumes that if a person is showing up where the understanding is probably she is home alone, do we have to always assume that that was in fact covered? And we know when it comes to day-to-day life that even sometimes those are very meticulous about mitzvah kala, mitzvah chamura, but sometimes we're surprised. We know as Rabbanim at the details, the nuance of halacha that sometimes is not so obviously covered.
Can I ask you what your understanding is from the Gedali Yisrael, this Baneinu on the Shema Shaila, of inviting Mechal Shabbos to your home on a Friday night in hopes that they'll stay over, but knowing in all likelihood that they're going to drive back?
Right.
Is your understanding from Gedali Yisrael vis-a-vis anything for on that?
Right. It's a very pressing question. To what extent can you do so? Part of the basis, I think, of what I alluded to is just the relevance of that tshuva that I mentioned of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He doesn't discuss a case of Chilul Shabbos, even though a letter was sent to Or Sameach years ago by Rav Shlomo Zalman, where he was willing to extend this svara even to what Or Sameach does for Kiruv, of inviting people, right, having them there before Shabbos, knowing very well that they will not necessarily take them up on those accommodations, but the fact that it's offered, maybe that's considered to be sufficient. If you look in the Mishnayos and Masechta Shviyos, in Perek Hei Mishneches, the Mishnah has the following case of a shor shamach resha. You have a shor, you know, as the Gemara writes, tur l'rad yizvine. A shor was used in the time of the Gemara for plowing. There's always a possibility of efshar b'shchita. Every once in a while, they would slaughter the shor, but the norm was charisha. And all of a sudden, it's shvius, and a Jew comes to you and he wants to purchase that particular shor. So Beis Hillel says you're allowed to sell him that shor because efshar b'shchita. That's a Mishnah Mufreshes. Heiches, right, in Masechta Shviyos. So what exactly does that mean? How strong was that tliya? How strong was that tliya? The fact that I really assume that the person coming to my door is going to take my farm cow and use it for shchita, which is mutter, obviously, during Shviyos. So that's where the Mishnah tells us that one can be tola. One can be tola. The difficulty, of course, and here you'll have different views, is how strong does that tliya have to be? Rav Shlomo Zalman has been quoted as saying, as an example, that if you invite someone to the home before Shabbos, you mentioned Friday night, where they're getting there does not involve any Chilul Shabbos at all, and you supply them with the accommodations that they could in principle stay, that is a sufficient tliya, as strong as that case in the Mishnah Shviyos of Efshar, or Beis Hillel says explicitly that in fact is considered to be mutter. One could argue differently. One could argue there is a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos that writes that a tliya has to be a very reasonable tliya, not just a theoretical tliya, but a very reasonable tliya. In this case, really a likelihood that people will in fact stay. But Rav Shlomo Zalman has assumed that that more theoretical tliya is considered to be that which is sufficient. And then you have, as mentioned, just the broader svar Rabbi Kiveger, and that is, again, I wouldn't necessarily use this lahalacha without the tliya, but if you have a situation where you know someone is going to spend their Shabbos replete, Rachman Litzlan, with Chilul Shabbos, eating nevelos and trefos, right, and your invitation as a sum game, the sum total will minimize the number of Isurim that they will be violating on that particular Shabbos. Right? You're right that they're going to violate some Isurim, but undeniably, let's assume that's the Metzias. Far less Averos will be violated in your home, even if they end up driving back, as opposed to not inviting them at all. So then the possibility of applying that svara of Rabbi Kiveger, that how can you call that a simas mirshol? A simas mirshol as a result of what is being done, not even just the broadest hashpa, the hope of broad influence, even on this particular Shabbos, the sum total of Chilul Shabbos will absolutely be reduced.
In such a case, can that be a basis itself? Personally, I would only recommend reliance on that when there is that type of tliya that Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes. He thinks that is considered to be that which is mutter. Yes.
If it's another matter and isur that you just mentioned, how would we analyze if we are invited to Yomisad Kiddushin on the Mutsari Shabbos for a wedding? That would be like giving you the shmark, accepting the fact that many of the invitees would do a lot of Kiddush Shabbos. If you don't go, they might go and bring a conservative reform rob, and that would create a way for them, Pastor Shalom, to go further away.
Right. I think a lot of it really depends on the norm, what is accepted, what is the consensus of, I would tell you, the Rabbanei Ha'ir, their Sfaris Lakan and Lakan. The fact that, let's assume, Seder Kedushin is done, let's say Kedasu Kedin, and there is that possibility of Hashpa, under many circumstances that is desired. That is desired. I even make that nuanced with a certain sense of a caveat because, you know, it's not even so simple, Bizman Hazeh, that, you know, when dealing with individuals who are not religious and the divorce rate being what it is, we don't always do couples a favor by insistence that the Sidra Kedushin is absolutely Kedasu Kedin, and all of a sudden be faced with tragic problems, as you know, of Gitnin, Mamzerus, and so on. But one, again, facet is assuming that that is true, but one always has to balance. It's not a simple thing. The Netziv already has a shayla of a person being Mesadra Kedushin, right, where the couple was not going to observe Taras HaMishpacha. And then it's Siv, goes back and forth in that tshuva. Is the Sidur Kedushin considered to be a form of a Simas Mikshal? Is that considered to be a Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mikshal? And again, the fact that it's done at a certain hour, and you know, you have to somehow know. You always have to know where leverage will work. We'll speak about this in the mitzvah of Tochacha. The Mishabur already mentions this in Bir Halach and Tafrei Shechet. Sometimes, you know, taking a very hard line will accomplish your goal. And sometimes taking a hard line will alienate, and if anything, it will greatly limit any possible hashpah we'll have. The ability to be able to know the nuance, I think that's something which is requires a great sense of hashara. I wouldn't give you a categorical answer, but I would tell you that many factors have to be weighed and considered. Yeah.
Question?
Well,
maybe a comment, just maybe can we...
Yes. Right. Could very well be. But that lesson from Mechanchim. Right. The lesson Lifnei Iver, I think, is such an amazing, important one. We think Lifnei Iver as Nazir. Here the Gemara writes, you know, you treat the Talmud, you speak with him in a derisive tone, and he shoots back. You know, the Gemara writes that that's our Isser of Lifnei Iver. You know, how many times do we meet a Talmud years later? And a Talmud will tell us in a nice fashion, you know, the warm comment that you made had the type of insolence that we never, never intended. In Rachman Litzlan, we can speak to Balabatim and they'll tell us, you know, that when I was in yeshiva years ago, a derisive comment was made, and that set me off, and somehow I never was able to trace my steps back. You know, that the Gemara writes, that's really a Lifnei Iver in that particular way of tochacha, which is given in an inappropriate when there's a Sefer HaChasidim. It's found in Simen Elef Tav Tav Kuf, then Samach Dalet. I think that's where it is in the Sefer HaChasidim. He writes the Chiddush that inappropriate tochacha is an Issa Darais Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mikshal. We'll have to speak about that the next year. It's not giving tochacha efficiently, as it should. That's real Lifnei Iver. It makes the situation far worse, even if the intent was to make it far better. It's an important Mr. Haskell for all of us.
Thank you so much, Rav Sachs. The Rosh Hashiva will be available during lunchtime as well. Three very quick announcements. Please remain seated. The coffee and tea will still be out there. Number one, just for lunch, be aware that the baked products are yashan, so for those who are makpid. Number two, I draw your attention to the upcoming programs that are in the newsletter we've produced for you. Two in particular, the Tolner Rebbe will be coming to Los Angeles first week in L.A. We'll have details for you. We're going to have a reception in a shiur. He's one of the world-class outstanding experts in chinuch and has an incredible reputation. So stay tuned for details. And
I'm about to introduce Rabbi Van, who's going to give us a short, to the point update on RCC Kashrus. I ask that everyone just remain seated for that presentation. Before we do so, we have a number of new members in the RCC who are here with us at this rabbinic conference for the first time. Rather than select them and announce them one by one, I think it would be so much nicer if we can simply go down the table and everyone simply quickly state your name and affiliation. And that way we'll have the introductions for all one another and, of course, get to meet each other over lunch, which is about to come in. It's a wonderful buffet lunch that the hotel has prepared for us. Rabbi Adaro.
David
Adaro,
Valley Village, Evans, Orek Shul, Sharei, Yerushalayim. Chai Yatsini.
Yakovan, RCC, and Calabasas Shul. I was wondering, when we were in the office, Rabbi Union was debating which topic to pick. And I think in the end, he chose this topic really to urge and nudge Rabbi Davidi and I in the kashrus of this Lefeiva Lesita Michshul. I saw an interesting ha'ara from Rav Moshe, where he contrasts the concept of building a mizbeach with that of a matzevo. We know that the Torah tells us that the Ovois built matzevois to build, to offer karbonos, and then later it became something that was hated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe writes, how could it be that something should change like that? So he says, a matzeva is something that's a single stone, it's frozen. So Moshe writes that Koidim Matan Torah, the mitzvahs were together mishein mitzvah va'isa. So then, whatever you do is a great accomplishment. So that's it, that's it. Once the Torah was given already, so then you need a mizbeach of kama avanim, of many stones, because you can always build bigger and better. Kashrus is exactly like this ha'or of Rav Meisha, that kashrus is not a matzeva. It's not something that's single, but rather it always has to grow bigger and better. There are always new things cropping up. There are always new issues, new challenges. In fact, this week we were responding to some issue. So someone that was next to me asked me, you know, Rabbi, do you ever have that like everything just goes right? So I told him if everything goes right, right, it wouldn't be the challenge and the fun, and also I may be out of a job. It really has to be, it's a mizbeach. It's constantly more avanim and building it bigger and better. I want to bring out a few things that are available ha'oris to the rabbanim, and also some of the things that you have in your packet. Number one of the issues that's constantly people are calling the office is to understand or to know which place is actively or properly certified in terms of which is under our certification. So Rav Sachs mentioned that a person has a responsibility to look at the te'udah on the wall to make sure that it's valid. And that is a tremendous issue that I'm not addressing it from the halachic standpoint, but from the practical standpoint. Because the motivation of the ownership, when they see that people are asking, is the te'udah up to date? Where is the te'udah? They know that the community is watching. And when they know that the community is watching, remember, most of the places, business is the reason for money, is the reason for being in business. and their kashrus level of response, or the responsibility in kashrus, they address based upon how much you're demanding. So number one is, you should ask for that te'udah. A second is, that's available to the community, is we created an auto-respond, which is where you send an email to a certain address, and auto-respond will get you the latest and greatest and most up-to-date list of RCC places that are certified. Because given this economy, even more than any other reason, places are constantly changing. There are new places, there are places that have lost their hashgacha, places that have closed in case you want to go out to eat. So if you look in the new chart that was given out, it says on the bottom that if you send an email to kosherlist@rccvad.org, you will get a response with that which is the latest and greatest in terms of the kashrus places. And that's something to teach your community. Because I get at least two or three calls a week asking, is this place still certified? Are there any questions? So you can get your answers that way. A second address... is that you'll start seeing that in response to issues where we do issue a Chol of Stam designation, for example, in Carvel, or places that get a non-Chol Visol certification. So we've adjusted the logo similar to other organizations that allow us to have a differentiation between the standard RCC, which would be our regular standard, which is Chol V'Sol, and everything, to where we allow a non-Chol V'Sol. Now, this does not apply, of course, to pizza stores and that the RCC, we don't give such certification. But in industrial, you'll start seeing it in industrial products. You're going to see that this designation of the D, you'll see it on the second or third page of your handout, where we have our list of places, you'll see the D designation, or the DRCC designation. It means that it's not Chol V'Sol. The regular logo RCC means that it's Chol V'Sol. That's by definition. It's trying to make a differentiation where you have the Carvel or that type of place, so people could know right away what it is. And that you'll see as time passes, especially in the industrial division, that's where we're finding it. Places, you have more and more industrial that are not Chol V'Sol that are applying to the RCC. So we're trying to, how are you going to deal with this? So we're taking that level of differentiation that the DK, as you'll see in the booklet, would be the not Chol V'Sol designation. The standard K, the regular RCC logo is the Chol V'Sol.
The products that industrial, not stores, I mean, pizza shop, you know it's dairy, but the products under RCC,
if it's dairy, it's going to have that logo. Till now it wasn't a shaila. Till now we didn't have this shaila till recently with the not Chol V'Sol in the industrial. The standard is parv, dairy is what we're dealing with now. Some companies are putting on the parv designation, they want that, others are not. So it depends. The issue is coming more as we gain more in factories, so we're asking them to put on the parv designation. But that's an issue that we're trying to convince the companies to, just like the OU has the OUD, we're trying to convince the companies that it's in their best interest to do so. And that's something that we're rolling out. It's not an absolute fait accompli. But in the upcoming companies, the new printings of what's going on now, that's the issue that we're dealing with. We're trying to get them to that level. In terms of the standards of the RCC, we'll begin an issue of the bugs, which is always one of my favorite topics. The bug issue is definitely one of the greatest challenges that you face in kashrus, because it's something that's constantly changing and constantly requires adjustment too, and it's very time consuming. One of the three ways that we hope with Hashem's help to continue to make progress and to really reach our goals is through having as it's become popular and familiar, the RCC produce, which is products that are grown in greenhouses using special systems of monitoring that grow bug free, and that we take great pride that Baruch Hashem, for the most part, it has been continuously available and statistically has not failed in terms of its kashrus. The second is in terms of education, educating the community in terms of the importance and the issues and the way to address bugs, which is what you have included in your booklet here, which is we've published the RCC standards and guidelines to home checking of vegetables. There's one for the industrial division as well, for the retails. But in terms of the houses, teaching women how to do it, or teaching men too, how to check the produce, which is basically education, and also educating our stores of the importance of this issue and slowly winning the battle. Because this is a battle. The bug issue is the toughest battle in terms of our stores, and that's something that through determination and constantly battling, making sure that we're going to succeed. And in fact, this morning, that was one of the issues we were dealing with. Rabbi Davidi and I were dealing with this, that it is Yehorg Val Yavar in this issue. Either we're going to, and we had explained this to the places, that this is Yehorg Val Yavar for the RCC, and this is a make or break issue. And thirdly, it's through constant monitoring, constantly going around and making sure that that which we hope for is that which is actively in place, so that we're not in echad bepeh ve'echad belev, echad belev ve'echad bepeh, that really we're carrying out that which we're purporting to do. And this is the greatest challenge of any Hashgacha agency, is to be true to your word. And that's the issue that we're addressing actively, to make sure that whichever we say is that which we're doing. And the same thing is true in the meats. That the RCC takes an active interest that all of the meats that are available in our stores are that which has met the guidelines and has been critiqued and really has reached the approval of the RCC and really has reached the approval of really knowing the insights and having connections with different Hashgach agencies and getting inside information, because it's insider information and the friendships that really get you the information that you need quietly. One of the areas in the importance of expanding in the industrial division, there's two reasons that it's critical to kashrus in our community. One is because the backbone of the financial stability of the organization comes from the industrial. All Hashgach agencies understand that the industrial is critical. It's where the geld is, it's where the money is, and that's why there are those that only deal with industrial. But for us as a VAD, as a community organization, it's even more critical, because the industrial is what gives us the wherewithal to have the staff necessary to properly monitor all of our places throughout the city. Because it's simply, every place is an added burden, and you cannot maintain kashrus or the level of kashrus that we expect just with the endorsement fees of our local places. It's simply not going to meet the costs are far, far outweigh the amount that we're bringing in, the revenues that come in from the retail. That's one aspect of the industrial. The second is, the industrial is how we interact with many of the other kashrus agencies throughout the country. Particularly when we go to the Association of Kashrus Organizations, ACO, that's where we represent ourselves not only as a VAD, but also as an area where we're shipping out and we're interacting with all of the kashrus agencies on a national level. So that area gives us the recognition to all of the kashrus agencies, but they also, they understand from us that we are true to our word. That which we say, we actively do. And that's what gives us the ability to really interact and to speak with them and to get often what is confidential information into which meats, particularly in the area of meats, but really in all areas, that which we want to accept in our organization and that which we don't. I mean, recently it's those relationships that allowed us to know that which was good, even in a bug issue that came up, in a salad issue that came up. It was personal relationships that gave us the insider information to know that it was not what it was purported to be or what is even thought to be, and that came about through having those relationships. An area, and this is an area where the Rabbanim can actively participate in terms of educating their community, but also when you go to a place, when you go to a restaurant, ask the owner for the tudah, but also ask him, what is your bug policy? Meaning, what are you doing for bugs? If, you know, that's what you want an answer. You want a clear answer from the person. I'm washing it. I'm using only RCC certified. However he's doing it, but when he sees that you're demanding, that's when that gives it much more able to respond, because he's far more afraid of the Rabbanim here and the community as consumers than honestly he is of the RCC. Because the RCC is always going to be the professionals, right? Because the bottom line is, for the most part, it's a consumer-driven industry, it's the profit line, and if he knows it's going to affect his profit, you know, the Olam Hazeh does to a certain extent have a more immediate effect than the Olam Haba aspect of threat. An area of understanding is in terms of the Hashgacha, and what we're willing to give Hashgacha to is something that we've taken great pains to make sure that we are being much more sensitive to who we're lending our name to. And this affects all areas of what we're giving Hashgacha to, and what we have refused to give Hashgacha to, and even what we have removed our Hashgacha from. In all areas, in the industrial, we have refused places to give because it didn't meet our standards of expectation. As well as in our retail, certainly, we have limited where and what we're going to give our endorsement to. Because a person, it's far easier, in terms of one of the CEOs of GE once said, he said, if you can drop your bottom 10% where your problems are, you're going to solve 80% of your problems. And that has been true in the RCC, particularly where we've let go quietly of a number of restaurants, a number of caterers, because simply the red sheet was far too long, and therefore we felt it was best to drop them quietly and with reason. And we have not accepted, even in the last 2 weeks, we did not accept two different places because they could not meet the standards that we were expecting from them, either being Hashgacha Tamidis, because they themselves were not up to the level of watching the place, particularly by a meat place, or other reasons where we had information that the person was not to the level that we would like and we would like to trust. Because ultimately, Hashgacha is being able to enforce, is to watch it, but you do need the cooperation of the owner, and you need a certain level of understanding of the owner, a certain yirashimayim, to whatever level of the owner, and therefore we felt that they were not proper match for the RCC and the standards that is the expectation of the community that the RCC would enforce. We began with the Aura of Rav Moshe of the Mizbeach versus the Matseva, that we as a Mizbeach are constantly attempting to build bigger and better. It's Kama Avonim, it's many stones put together, but it's also an idea of a Mizbeach is a unity. It's all of us together. And that's also where we turn to the Rabbanim to understand that our commitment on the professional level really comes with the strength of the Rabbanim. And it only can come about with you, with all of us together to unify, because you can't be everywhere, right? We always love and welcome when we get ha'aris, not only from Rabbanim, but also from community members. They call us, there's a problem in this place, or what's the pshat in this place. That's critical, because you can't be everywhere, and we try to respond as efficiently as possible to those eyes and ears that are out there. So I invite and encourage the Rabbanim to please talk to the owners. When you go to a place, ask for the tuda, ask them for what are they doing in this case. Call us with comments and questions, or where maybe the seals are not in the right place, with those types of ha'aris, as well as partner with us to help monitor and make sure that the Hashgacha is reaching the level and the expectation that all of us hope for and we strive for. Yishar koach, and thank you.
Thank you, Rabbosai. Please, we have a buffet lunch. I'm going to try and get from the hotel now validation for the parking, so if you did self-park, hopefully in a little while I'll have validation for you. Please help yourselves to lunch. We are running on schedule. We will have a PowerPoint presentation coming up a little bit. Once everyone's got a full plate and is sitting and relaxing and gets to meet one another. And the second cheer to follow of Rav Sachs.
I'm going to go to the next one. Before I had a